Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Paul says something remarkable, which is counterintuitive, that as you pray about your worries, give thanks. Now, when you're worrying, when you're anxious, perhaps being thankful is the last thing you feel. But thanksgiving is an essential spiritual key in dealing with anxiety and worry.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. Those who study mental health issues tell us that there's an epidemic in our world today, and it may not be the one you're thinking of. Our culture is plagued by worry. So how do we exchange our worries for God's peace? Today on The Verdict, we're exploring the answer as we continue our series with Wings Like Eagles. So to introduce today's message, here's Pastor John Monroe.
I think I can say that everyone I know has sometimes experienced worry and anxiety. The ongoing turmoil in our world can spill over into our lives and make us anxious. And our modern world, with all of its technology requiring instant responses to emails and texts and social media, seems to increase the stress. People go for counseling and seminars to try and get relief from their anxiety and worry. So, in this series with Wings Like Eagles, I thought it was very appropriate that we deal with this common problem. Aren't you very encouraged to know that the Word of God deals with this problem? That God doesn't want you to be worried or anxious. He wants you to be still and know that He is God. He wants you to wait on Him. Our society is plagued by worry and anxiety. We're anxious about our health, our kids, our school, exams, money, aging parents, unemployment, relationships, nuclear attacks, terrorisms, and a host of other things. Jonathan Haidt is a professor of ethical leadership at New York's University Stern School of Business. He's one of the world's leading experts in moral psychology. And he states, "Never before have the mental health statistics just gone haywire for generations so quickly. So whatever we're doing, kids born after 1995 have really high rates of anxiety." Staggering, isn't it? High rates of anxiety, depression, self-harm, and suicide. He states that while boys' hierarchy is based on athletic ability and toughness, or the ability to dominate and insult, competition and teasing, things like that, for girls, their aggression is relational. They damage each other's relationships. And so when smartphones come in, and social media especially, this multiplies their ability to damage each other's relationships enormously. Now, Jonathan Haidt is a great writer. I respect him. He's not a follower of Jesus Christ. But I think what he says, sadly, neatly summarizes so much of what's going on in our society. Many people live, and obviously according to Jonathan Haidt, many children, young boys and young girls, live with a high degree of anxiety and worry. Incidentally, Haidt believes, his belief is, that children should be limited to 2 hours a week of screen time, not counting homework. And he says, no social media until high school. Well, let's face it. When facing the real world, many of us feel stressed, don't we? Feverish anxieties, stress, tension. These little worms of gnawing worries attack all of us. And research has shown that anxiety and stress contribute to heart disease, ulcers, loss of memory, blood pressure, sexual dysfunction, diminished immune function, disturbed sleep patterns, and the list goes on. There's a huge industry, isn't there, in sleeping pills, antidepressants, tranquilizers, therapists, counselors, all designed to help people cope with anxiety and worry. And the worst part of worry is that we inflict it on ourselves, don't we? Experts are by no means agreed as to the cure for worry and anxiety. Experts say that exercise, meditation, and massage may provide some temporary relief, but there's no cure. Is there? Is it possible to experience peace and tranquility when we live in a society where there's so much stress, so much worry, so much anxiety, so much depression? What do you think? Today we're going to learn, this is a bold statement, but I'm going to make it. Today we're going to learn the spiritual cure to your anxieties, to your worries. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ speaks directly to this very, very important subject that impacts every single one of us. If you have your Bible, I want you to open it to Matthew chapter 6. And I'm going to read from the scriptures, from part of what is called the Sermon on the Mount. Here is the teaching of Jesus writing 2,000 years ago in this brilliant passage. And we can summarize it by saying, bring all of your anxieties, all of your worries to the Lord. And as we think of this subject, first, there is something that we must not do according to the teaching of Jesus. He's telling us something which perhaps you're going to give a cynical laugh when you hear it, but he's telling us, do not be anxious. Matthew 6, verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Verse 31, therefore do not be anxious. Verse 34, therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, as Jesus in a sense summarizes his teaching here at the end of Matthew chapter 6. Do not be anxious about tomorrow. This is a very challenging command, isn't it? Do not be anxious. This word anxious originally meant to rip something or tear something in two. We can identify that with that because when we're anxious, we say, I'm torn up about this. Something is churning within us. We feel the emotion. We may actually feel a physical pain in our stomach. We feel the tension in our head, and this worry that is getting to us, it rips us up. What's going on? Anxiety, feverish worries. But here is the command. Are you listening? Jesus is speaking to you today. He's saying, do not be anxious about your life. Some of you, as you sit here, are anxious. You're thinking about tomorrow. Difficult situation at work. Waiting the results of a medical exam, concerned about your children, concerned about that exam that you're about to take. Could be a thousand and one things, couldn't it? Here is the command from Jesus, do not be anxious. And Jesus gives us several reasons why we're not to be anxious in this passage. I'm going to deal with five of them. First, verse 26, your heavenly Father is watching over you. Listen to verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. You're going to learn from the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. God looks after the birds and, says Jesus, are you not of more value than they? The argument is a simple one, one that we can understand. If God takes care of the birds, if you make sure that they're provided for, he's certainly going to take care of you. Here's the first reason then why we're not to worry. Your heavenly Father is watching over you. You're of greater value to your heavenly Father than birds. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. I don't know if birds speak like that, but I'm sure they must think, what is it with these human beings, with all of their worry, with all of their anxiety? We're fine. We should be fine, shouldn't we, to know this? That whatever your circumstances today, and they may be very, very difficult, I'm certainly not minimizing them, that we have a heavenly Father who watches over us. That is, if through faith in Jesus Christ, we know God. John tells us that it is to those who receive Christ that he gives a right to become children of God, that we are born into the family of God, not through our baptism, not through church membership, but through a personal faith in the living Christ. And as I come to Jesus Christ and I know him as my Savior, I now realize that I'm in the family of God, and that this great eternal God who's all-powerful, who in the beginning made the heavens and the earth, this great God is also my Father. And he's watching over me and you. Here's the second reason. Worry produces absolutely nothing. Verse 27, which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? The old King James says, which one of you, by being anxious, can add a cubit to your height? Whatever height you are, you can be anxious about it, you can fret about it. Doesn't mean you're going to grow anymore. What's the point? You can worry and worry and worry, and you know what it accomplishes? It accomplishes absolutely nothing other than more pain, more anxiety for yourself. Someone said, worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it goes nowhere. You say, well, I enjoy my rocking chair. That may be. But when you worry, you have to understand it's a pointless exercise. In fact, it is counterproductive. The more you worry, the more you're going to worry. Seneca said very wisely, he suffers more than necessary who suffers before it is necessary. That's what worry does. Worry is thinking of something bad that's going to happen to us, and it's causing us pain before that event even comes. It's absolutely pointless. We must humbly accept in life that there are things we can't change. If you're unhappy with your height, you can't change it, says Jesus. You can't add extra years, life to yourself. There are things totally beyond our control. Worry, secondly, produces absolutely nothing. Third, your Heavenly Father knows all your needs. He watches over you, but he knows all your needs. Verse 28. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. A lesson from the birds, a lesson from the flowers. Yet I tell you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Again, the argument's a powerful one. You look out, not at this time of the year in North Carolina, but when I was recently in Scotland, you see this magnificent green grass. God produces the grass. God takes care of the grass. I think he's going to take care of you. What are you worried about? O ye of little faith. That's the argument, verse 31. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles, that is the pagans, unbelievers, seek after all these things. They're materialistic, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them all. What would a father think if his 3, 4, 5-year-old daughter or son was worrying what they would eat or if they would have enough clothes to wear? The father would say, stop worrying. I can handle this. I'm your father. I'm going to care for you. I love you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to do all I can. And an earthly father is limited in his resources, but our heavenly father is unlimited, and he knows our needs and he loves us. Fourth reason, your heavenly father provides all the needs of those who seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This is where it gets a little convicting. Verse 33, but seek first, not your personal comfort, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Isn't that magnificent? That is, as we follow Jesus Christ, we put Jesus Christ first. I'm to seek first the kingdom of God. Not a comfortable life, not success. I'm to seek first the glory of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. And says Jesus, when you do that, you don't need to worry about all of the rest. I'm going to take care of it. All of these things, the things that you worry and you fret about, I'm going to take care of. What a great way to live. What a way of security our Heavenly Father provides for us. Who are the most uptight people? Who are the most anxious people? People who try to control everything. People who hold on to what they have. I found over the years that the more generous you are, the tension goes, greater the peace. Who do you think gave the most generously this morning at the offering? The uptight person living in fear, oh, I don't know if I have enough money for next month. No, the person who is at peace realizes everything they have comes from the hand of God, that the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But if you're trying to control everything and hold on to everything with that grip, no wonder you're tense. No wonder you're anxious. Realize, seek first the kingdom of God, and God, your Heavenly Father, will take care of everything else. Here is the fifth reason I'm not to be anxious. Verse 34, God gives you, isn't this marvelous? God gives you all of the strength, all of the wisdom, and the grace that you need for today. Therefore, verse 24, here's a conclusion, as it were. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Well, what are you worrying about? You know, when we're worrying, we're always thinking of tomorrow, the next day, the next week, the next month, the next year. It's always in the future, isn't it? Says Jesus, don't do that. Do not be anxious about tomorrow. God doesn't give you and me the strength, the wisdom, and the grace that I need for tomorrow. He has promised, we saw this last week, didn't we, with unanswered prayer. God has promised that he will give me and he will give you all of the grace and all of the strength that you need for this moment. God takes care of you today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Give us this day our daily bread. That's part of the Lord's Prayer, isn't it? Not tomorrow. Remember the children of Israel going through the wilderness? God sent them the manna from heaven. It came to them each day. And there were people who were very greedy, and they took more than they supplied for one day, and they found that the next day the bread had become all moldy. God was teaching them, no, just trust me today. Today. Tomorrow is totally different. Being anxious about tomorrow robs us of the joy and the strength of today. Do you realize that the future doesn't belong to you, but to God? You're trying to control your future? That's pretty silly. Don't do that. Jesus is saying, stop worrying. The future does not belong to you, it belongs to God. And so Jesus is saying, verse 25, do not be anxious about your life. Verse 31, therefore do not be anxious. Verse 34, therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow. A lot of anxious people out there today, aren't there? What's Jesus saying to you? Stop it. Stop it. Don't be anxious. You say, well, is that all I have to do? No. Negative, don't be anxious. Positive, turn to Philippians chapter 4. Positive, what am I going to do with my worries and my anxieties? Just pretend they don't exist? Play some kind of psychological trick on myself? No. Don't do that. That's the power of positive thinking. That's not what the scriptures are saying. I'm to acknowledge my worry. I'm to acknowledge my fear. I'm to acknowledge before God that this is, in my own strength, a very worrying situation, but I'm to bring all of my worries and all of my anxieties to the Lord. Philippians 4, verse 6, Paul is writing. Do not be anxious about anything. It's the same word that the Lord used in Matthew 6. Don't be anxious about anything. But here's the positive. In everything. So I'm not to be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Bring all of your worries and anxieties to the Lord. Some of you didn't sleep very well last night. You're worrying. Some of you have come through a very, very stressful week. What are your fears? What's your worries? What's your anxieties? Name them. Name them one by one and everyone. You might even want to write them down. What a collection we would have this morning, wouldn't we? It would fill volumes. All of our worries, all of our fears, all of our anxieties. What's Paul saying? The way to be anxious about nothing is to be prayerful in everything. All, no exceptions. All of my cares, all of my worries, all of my anxieties, all of my fears are to be brought to the Lord in prayer. And when you do that, the power of the worry is broken. And Paul said something remarkable, which is counterintuitive, but when you think about it, you realize this is very, very true, that as you pray about your worries and your anxieties, give thanks. Now, when you're worried, when you're anxious, perhaps being thankful is the last thing you feel. But thanksgiving is an essential and often forgotten spiritual key in dealing with anxiety and worry. What happens when we're anxious? We get a little self-pitying. We start complaining. We start whining. We may become very bitter about our circumstances. But bitterness, anger, frustration, and resentment not only stop you from being thankful, they increase your worry, anxiety, and stress. Isn't that true?
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and the first part of a message titled, Plagued by Worry and Anxiety. Jesus told us, do not be anxious about your life. But that may feel easier said than done. So what are the practical steps for exchanging our stress for the peace of God in challenging times? John answers this question and more in a special guide he's written called Trusting God in Tough Times. Inside, you'll find straightforward biblical answers that will help you navigate life's most difficult issues, such as the death of a loved one, broken relationships, or dealing with worry and anxiety. And we'd love to send you this helpful resource today. Just go to our website at theverdict.org and download or request a free copy of Trusting God in Tough Times. And while you're on our website, you'll have the opportunity to play a part in what God is doing through The Verdict with a simple one-time donation of any amount. Your support will help share God's word with new listeners in your community and across the world. So if reaching others with the gospel is something you're passionate about, consider giving a financial gift today to support this ministry. You can easily give whatever amount you feel led to when you visit theverdict.org. And if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to our daily podcast, now featuring John's weekly podcast exclusive called Avizandum. To learn more about this new topical feature, you can also visit our website. Again, that's theverdict.org. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with his closing remarks.
Well, what's your verdict? What's been your experience of worry and anxiety? Are you worrying about anything at the moment? Do you realize that worry and anxiety solve absolutely nothing? Will you listen to Jesus and bring all of your anxieties and worries to Him? God is watching over you. He sees the fall of the sparrow, and He certainly sees your situation. Read and study the words of Jesus in Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34. And join me next time on The Verdict as we continue with being plagued by worry and anxiety.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.